Two pilots involved in a midair had been dating. Traffic is down, but controller mistakes are up. And a private experimenter beats Sikorsky to a major milestone. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 7th, 2011. Local and federal officials are investigating a mid-air collision in Alaska in which one pilot is presumed lost. The two aircraft were operating from different villages in southwest Alaska when they collided near Nightmute on Saturday. NTSB investigator Clint Johnson told the Anchorage Daily News the two pilots had been dating but flew for different operations and had met up in the air. They were reportedly communicating by radio on a prearranged frequency when the accident occurred. The pilot of the Cessna 208 Caravan which went down was Scott Veal of Kenai, Alaska. He has not been located. The Anchorage Daily News reports no body has been recovered from the wreckage, which was strewn over half a mile. The other pilot, Kirsten Sprague, landed the Cessna 207 she was flying safely, but with a badly damaged wing. She did not appear to be injured, but was transported to a nearby hospital as a precaution. Sprague confirmed the two were dating and that Veal was going through a divorce. Neither pilot was carrying any passengers. Weather at the time of the accident was reported as a 1,000-foot ceiling with no precipitation or fog in the area. Federal data shows a disturbing trend. Air traffic controller operational errors resulting in a breakdown of separation minima are up 81% between 2007 and 2010, from 1,040 to 1,887. That's despite a 10% decline in traffic. The Boston Globe reports that for the Boston region, the increase is 114%. The FAA was responding to a public information request from the paper and attributes the jump to changes in the way errors are reported and categorized. But a number of anonymous controllers and trainers instead told the paper the blame was on causes ranging from inexperienced staffers to the training they received from Raytheon. Congress has asked the DOT's Inspector General to look into the matter, which is expected to take until spring. FAA spokeswoman Arlene Salak acknowledged concern about the rise in errors, which comes during what the FAA likes to point out is statistically the safest time ever for air travel in the U.S. She told the Globe officials are reviewing procedures and training throughout the air traffic control system to ensure that they're addressing any safety issues and making any necessary changes. The last time the National Transportation Safety Board specified controller error as a probable cause of a fatal aviation accident was in January 2010, when the pilot and sole occupant of a Piper PA-32-300 flew into a mountain ridge in Hawaii. At EAA Air Venture 2010 last year, Sikorsky unveiled its Firefly electric helicopter proof-of-concept demonstrator, a battery-powered electric helicopter it said it expected to fly by the end of the year. It was essentially a legacy S-300C helicopter with the engine replaced by a 190-horsepower electric motor and honking huge lithium batteries, which left only enough useful load for a very light test pilot. This year, the Firefly was back in Oshkosh but still hadn't flown. Now, it will be too late for the enormous manufacturer and military contractor to get to that milestone first. Instead, in a story that sounds made for Oshkosh, a private experimenter working in France took on an assignment from a French company called Solution F to design, build, and fly the world's first untethered electric helicopter and got the whole thing done in 12 months. Pascal Crétien's first flight and his original design happened on August 12th, according to Gizmag, remaining in ground effect but reaching a height of about 1 meter during a flight lasting 2 minutes and 10 seconds. In an irony noted by Gizmag's Lars Blaine, while Sikorsky went with the old-school combination of single main rotor and tail rotor for anti-torque, Crétien chose to cut the waste of a tail rotor system by using coaxial main rotors, a scheme like the one Sikorsky is promoting as the future of high-performance helicopters with its X2 technology demonstrator. He also replaced the conventional cyclic control system with a weight shift setup to shave some more weight. To make his deadline, Crétien used welded 7020 aluminum for the airframe instead of lighter composites. A major concern for the electrical aerospace engineer and helicopter pilot was careful regulation of the esoteric battery system. Crétien achieved an efficiency level of 87% from battery terminals to rotor and says he may even have enough reserve power to return to a conventional cyclic control. Lee Bottom Flying Field in Hanover, Indiana, has its 15th annual Wood Fabric and Tailwheels Fly-In, scheduled for the weekend of September 23rd through 25th. In a recent entry on his Nordo News blog, Rich Davidson notes the event has grown considerably, but is also not immune to the economic downturn. The Wood Fabric and Tailwheels Fly-In has grown from a first-year attendance of 28 planes to sometimes topping out at well over 400. He adds, quote, "We are in big need of aircraft parking and meet-and-greet volunteers. If you have participated in parking tailwheel aircraft in the past or have knowledge of the airport, please let us know if you are up for it again this year," unquote. You can get details and contact info at www.leebottom.com. Still ahead, a court fails to convict a DHS pilot of lying to the government. The bird strike industry gathers at Niagara Falls. And here's just how badly regional pilots are paid. You're listening to Aeronews.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 7th. I'm Paul Platt. In an update on a story we covered last week, a Department of Homeland Security pilot was found not guilty Friday on charges of lying to federal investigators about the drowning of a person attempting to cross into the U.S. illegally from Mexico. In the 2005 incident, Carlos Degadillo Martinez drowned in the Rio Grande in the attempt. Prosecutors had accused pilot James Peters of flying his helicopter low to the ground in an attempt to force Delgadillo and another person back to the Mexican side of the Rio Grande. Officials say the rotor wash caused Delgadillo to lose his grip on the inner tube he was using for support in the water. USA Today reports the defense successfully argued that the pilot did not lie about flying too close to an international bridge or having contact with any alleged illegal immigrants on the bridge. And while there was video of the incident, the defense said it showed no proof of anyone drowning. Peters had been accused of four counts of making false statements to federal investigators. Along with the one acquittal, the jury was unable to reach a verdict on the other three, forcing the judge to declare a mistrial. Niagara Falls will host the 2011 Bird Strike North America Conference, September 12th through the 15th, at Marriott Gateway on the Falls. The event is organized by the Bird Strike Association of Canada and the Bird Strike Committee USA and brings together aviation and wildlife professionals from all over the world dedicated to the understanding and prevention of bird strikes. This year's program includes paper and poster presentations, several exhibits, and the opportunity to network with associates. A SIPTER radar will be showcasing its 3D avian radar, which is deployed at several civil airports and military airfields to help reduce bird strike risk. Bird aircraft collisions have been a safety concern for aviation ever since the Wright brothers. The story of the landing of U.S. Flight 1549 in the Hudson River in January of 2009 drew public attention to the issue. Recent estimates indicate that bird strikes cost commercial aviation over $1.2 billion worldwide every year. We've all heard anecdotes about how poorly first officers are paid at regional airlines, but a report in California Watch has found that first-year regional pilots can earn less than window washers or toll takers on the Golden Gate Bridge. The report finds that a window washer at San Francisco International Airport earns, on average, $26.75 per hour. That's 75 cents an hour more than a first officer from Asaba Airlines. Golden Gate toll collectors make $23.81 per hour, compared to only $20.50 for Mesa Airlines first officers. And things don't get much better with time on the job. A fifth-year California Highway Patrol officer's base pay before overtime is $90,185. That's more than double the pay of a Horizon Air fifth-year first officer who makes $44,500 before taxes. and that's the highest of the airlines in the study. Mesa pays $30,500 to first officers with 5 years of service. So, do we really need blue ribbon committees to determine why the number of new pilots entering the profession is down? And finally today, what do Boeing 757s and elephants have in common? They both turn back when confronted with a mouse. Fox News reports a Nepal Airlines 757, scheduled for departure from Kathmandu to Bangkok Airport Monday, never took off after a mouse ran out of a food pantry and made his way toward the back of the plane. The crew reportedly canceled the flight till they could find the rodent. Nepal Airlines spokesman Raju KC told the Associated Press the mouse likely boarded the plane via a food catering truck. The crew managed to get the jet towed to a hangar and evacuated before the passengers even saw the mouse. The airline tells the Associated Press the plane will not fly again until the rodent is found. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.